should really warn you that our power went out Thursday night, hadn't come back on, and for the first time in a long time, I had to handwrite my sermon. Which is okay, this is okay. Except as I was just sitting reading things over, one of the pages is missing. So here goes. It'll be all right. Emmanuel, God with us. It's more than the name of our congregation. It's the word describes the intersection of heaven and earth. Emmanuel, God with us. The gospel lesson says, Emmanuel, Jesus went about all the places in the Galilee, and he's teaching, and he's preaching, and he's doing his healing, and things are progressing, but boy, things are hard. He proclaims the kingdom of heaven, and we know that the kingdom of heaven it's not a place up there in the sky where good people, I mean, really, really good people like me and you, we get to go because God smiles on us because we're just so good. No, it's not like that at all. It's the kingdom is where God rules. And it's the way things God intended to be. It's heaven is when God's rule is brought here to bear on the world. Heaven. It can break out at any moment. And sometimes we feel it, but it's not a place. It's not an idea. It's a movement. And it moves in us. Now, folks who lived in Jesus' time knew and trusted that God will put it right. He's going to bring the kingdom. Mm-hmm. He's going to put things back together the way they were intended to be. A Messiah would come. Oh, they knew it. He'd come and enforce justice. He would come and bring peace and healing and liberation, and it's going to be a force that's here and now, and if necessary it will be by force. They believed and they prayed. They just didn't know who or how or when, but they had that great expectation. Jesus was that Emmanuel, aligning all things of God with earth, all things called to be amongst God's people, things not of heaven up there, but things of that whole movement of God, things of love, things of acceptance, of forgiveness, of justice, things of mercy, things of love, things of meaning and hospitality and new life. This was the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven on earth, and Jesus is bringing that wherever he goes. That's the message. One of the ways to think of it, at least the way I think of it, is to visualize the sign of the cross, okay? Emmanuel, God with us. The gospel lesson for this morning says that Jesus went about all the cities and villages and teaching in their synagogues and curing every disease and every illness, because he aligned himself with people, with the events, with the circumstances and concerns and the needs that he met. Always, always with us. Just okay, visualize that and see it as the vertical line. But then also visualize all the needs that we have, all the people and all the things that we know just isn't what God intended. And that's the horizontal plane. That's the plane in which we live. And then Jesus, God makes a mark and says, this is the way it's supposed to be. In the middle of that reality that we face, Jesus is there to make that difference. It's the intersection of the cross, the vertical and the horizontal, where Jesus takes a stand. It's the place where God is with us in the person of Jesus. Jesus who lived, who died, and who rose again. Jesus who is teaching and proclaiming and healing and bringing home the lost and at the intersection in the world with compassion. That's one of the key words in this whole gospel lesson, compassion. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. Compassion is the main motivating force that Jesus' ministry takes, is compassion. The word we translate as compassion, it's kind of weak, actually, according to the original text. There's something much more deeper that lies behind that. When Jesus saw the crowd, literally, his bowels were moved. It's like getting punched in the gut. I know a few people who can stand up after being punched in the gut, but most of us will go, oh. Just imagine Jesus looking at the world around him, the people and their needs, and feeling that punch. It's great. It's a punch in the gut. It's that feeling that's inside that it's the kind of pain that not just makes you wince, it just plain hurts. It's an action word. And Jesus has moved to the core of his being. It's Emmanuel, God with us. And God hurts with us. When Jesus saw the crowds, he saw that they were harassed, whatever that means, harassed. I think it was the 1968 convention in Chicago where the word harassed made a big statement. It used to be harassed. Mm-hmm. Did you know that? It used to be harassed. That's how we pronounced it. But harassed is what the hippies and the yippies said because of that one little part of it that just doesn't sound like we should say it in church. You know, huh? Yeah, that one. But they were hurting. And again, behind that word, there are so many different things. Originally, that word stood for being weak or fainting. Harassed meant being weak, exhausted, emotionally and physically exhausted, drained. Dejected. That's what he saw when they were helpless. Just as like, well, we don't know what to do. No, it's to be dejected and scattered, to be without hope, like sheep without a shepherd. It was like a punch in the gut. Now, before Jesus speaks about the harvest being plentiful, he sees the crowd. And before he sends the disciples out on the crowd, he is deeply moved, that punch in the gut. And before there is a commission to go, there's compassion. And before there is anything, the starting point is that, the point of pain, as he sees the world this everyday reality of pain, the physical and emotional and spiritual pain, real pain, and also the systematic or systemic pain, the pain of violence, the pain of injustice, the pain of poverty, of racism, of classism, of sexism, of genderism, of ageism, and any other isms that we can come up with. Because we live in both of those places, our personal reality and the reality of the world. And when Jesus sees that, he has compassion. We know that pain because it's where we live. And we see it. We see that pain in the tears of others, in ourselves. We hear it in their voices. And every one of us here, every single person that we know, feels and has experienced some sort of pain. Physical, emotional, spiritual, systemic pain, like a weight on our shoulders. And if you're alive today, you know you felt that pain and or have observed it in other places. Your own pain, a loved one's pain, a stranger's pain. When Jesus sees it, it's like a punch in the gut. Too often, maybe when we see it, it's met with indifference or concern. But that pain is a cruel, cruel crop that grows up amongst us. So instead of that crop being the harvest of all the good souls that need to be brought in, connected with compassion, maybe Jesus is saying, all that needs to be harvested. It needs to be cut down, bound, and brought away, taken away. A crop of plentiful pain, a crop of plentiful pain waiting for laborers. Because when it comes to pain, there are far more fruits that need to be harvested and never enough workers. It's not just about the willingness of people to step in to work, do the work of the kingdom where God rules and God is brought to bear. It's not about the numbers of us. It's really seeing and doing. Now, it's not surprising that Jesus tells his disciples to pray. Pray to the Lord of the harvest to send someone who will enter the fields of pain, this vertical reality, and do something. Do something. Do something to provide relief. Do something to heal. Do something to set things right. Do something to bring the kingdom near and make it happen. And so he tells the disciples to pray. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into the harvest. And so I'm pretty sure they prayed. Lord, please send laborers into your harvest. Amen. It's a simple, short, direct prayer. Maybe try it with me, okay? I'll say it and then you repeat. Lord, please send laborers into your harvest. Amen. I probably should have warned you that right away as disciples prayed that prayer, Jesus turns around and says, okay, you're it. You're the laborers. You are those laborers. Before he calls all the disciples to send them out, he calls them together and they pray that God would give them the gifts. God would help them go out and do it. And Jesus gives them the authority. Oh, that authority. He sends them to respond to pain, to offer relief to people, to heal the brokenness, and to make that difference. And he makes them part of the answer of their own prayer. They prayed, and Jesus said, good, you're it. I probably should caution you, when you prayed that, you are it too. He meant you to. He meant me. And we must be a part of the answer of that prayer, to give our hands and our feet to that prayer, to embody and to enact that prayer, because God is with us. Jesus shows us that dual alignment, the cross-shaped thing, the dual alignment of his life. And like the sign of the cross, the vertical and the horizontal, we're to be that sign. And it's not easy. I know it's not easy. I don't know about you, but I've never had the authority or the ability that Jesus gave to the disciples when he sent them out. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. It's probably a good thing. It's probably a good thing because I probably spend some time in, places of government where demons certainly need to be cast out on every side. And if I was curing the sick that way, these hospitals would be gone. Mm-hmm. Imagine having the power. That's not me. I don't have it. The last part is something that I can't avoid. None of us can. As you go, proclaim the good news of the kingdom, that it's come near. Emmanuel with us. God with us. With us, God. That's about the reaching out with the power of the cross, the reconciling cross. And it's the power of the resurrection to say, this is the way. This is the way it's supposed to be. So let's do it. There's a story I read a while back of St. Francis. St. Francis of Assisi was a monk who lived in the 13th century, and his ministry still impacts the way we think today. It continues to have that profound effect on the church today, or it really should. Francis was a strange person. I know what that's like. Francis did things that folks really didn't understand at first. Well, the story goes that one day Francis makes an announcement that he's planning to go to a nearby town to preach the gospel and bring the message of the good news to the folks who were there in need. He invited a young novice to come with him, to participate, to help, to learn. And on the way to that village, they came upon a man who was injured. Well, Francis stopped. Of course he stopped. And he saw to the man's needs, and he arranged for his care. And they walked further. And the further they went, they to the place of preaching, they came and encountered a family. A family on the roadside. They lost their house, they have no food, unhoused, hungry, with children, and so Francis stopped. And he saw that the house, the family was cared for, that they had the provisions that they needed. And they went further. And and that's the way it went all day long. Wherever he was, there was something that needed to be done, and he did it. And finally, as nightfall is coming, Francis never reached the destination. And he said, well, I guess it's time to go back because it's evening prayer time. And that poor novice, who didn't know any better, said, you know, but Brother Francis, we never went to preach. You know, we did all these things, but we never went to preach. And Francis said, smiling, my young friend, what do you think we've been doing all day? Preaching. It's attributed to Francis as saying, preach the gospel always, and if necessary, use words. Mm-hmm. That one haunts me all the time. It's more than me just speaking. It's the things that you say and things that you do that make a difference. In my ministry in Elkhart, we had potluck dinners. They called them carrion dinners. Did you know that? They called them carrion dinners. First time I heard that, I thought, carrion dinners. Are you guys talking about roadkill? But it turned out potluck. I never sat down. Well, one, I get real nervous. And the other, it was more fun to serve, to make sure people had coffee, stop at the table and talk to people. And we could have over 200 people for Easter breakfast. And not sitting down got to mean I met all sorts of folks and listened to their stories and do those things. I'm not bragging, that's just the way I am. But it was so wonderful to be able to do that and watch the smile on people's faces by just pouring a cup of coffee or taking a plate away. Or doing any little thing. I guess on Easter Sunday I preached 3 sermons, but I guess I did more preaching that way than I did with words. See, you don't have to go someplace far away. You don't have to do anything special. You just see something that needs to be done and do it, and you start where you are. That's what Jesus says. Don't go anywhere near the Gentiles. Don't do it. Just the lost house of Israel. Go home to the places where you are and there, do it. Because like a pebble in a puddle, it's probably going to expand further and further and further out. One little drop and the name of Jesus can reach the ends of the earth. Start with your family. Start with your friends. Just start with the people that you meet. And say, what is the pain that they're feeling today? What is the pain you're feeling today? What is the pain you hear in the lives of others? When you see it through the eyes of Jesus, does it move you to the same kind of compassion? Is it like a punch in the gut sometimes when you see things happening in the community in which you live? Compassion working Jesus is always, always propelling God's mission of redemption into the world's brokenness. And it can just start like a pebble in a puddle. Compassion is action. And action is so needed in our nation and our world today. There's a lot of brokenness. There's a lot of pain. And today's gospel lesson reminds us that Jesus' compassion is for the people. And it's always sparked by one single observation. The harassed and the helpless need somebody to help. We are here in Emmanuel because we need God's help. And the world is hurting. Harassed and helpless, something needs to be done. And it needs to be done through us. God with us. And with us, God, as we go out, an extension. God with us, God, as we go out with gentle hands and wise minds and caring hearts. Now we do, we gather under the name Emmanuel, and it's more than just a name, God with us. We know that it doesn't mean to remain here in these pews out there in interweb land. God goes before us. God goes with us. God goes through us. And he speaks the words. He speaks the words sometimes with the mouth, oftentimes with the hands and the feet and the eyes to see, to speak up, to speak out when we see. See with the eyes of Jesus and the heart of Jesus. And at the end of the service, you'll hear those words, go in peace and serve the Lord. Emmanuel, God will be with you. Amen.